she's real fine, my 409.
This is the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by Autoflex Leasing on 105.3 The Fan.
Well, I saved my good morning. Welcome to the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by Autoflex Leasing with your host, David Blassingame.
Good morning.
Tammy Pickard.
Hello.
Lane Lewis.
Good morning.
And me, Sybil. Phone number to the studio, 877-881-1053, or send us an Autoflex Leasing fan text at 43733, or do what I did, call Autoflex this week. What are those numbers, David?
Either 817 or 972-234-1234, 888-234-1234, out of the area. As always, autoflex.com, where you can set up a test drive online, find out what your trade-in's worth, or apply for a lease, a loan, or a flex buy right there at autoflex.com.
Mm-hmm. So at 9:15, I'll tell you about my experience, because I did, in fact, get a new ride from Autoflex this week. Yesterday, in fact. But first, really, you can't go anywhere in DFW without getting caught in some kind of traffic jam, especially Friday from between, I'd say, 2 p.m. until 7:30 at night. You're going to just sit in it. But now there's a really cool new, is it an app or just a technology feature?
Well, you know, it's an app that's coming, and it is a technology feature, and it sort of compares to Waze in a lot of ways. No pun intended. If you have Waze, W-A-Z-E, on your phone, you understand that they crowdsource to tell you about traffic. All of the other Wazers on the highway are being tracked, and you can enter in traffic jams and how bad it is, and it'll also show you how fast they're driving. But this tool goes a lot farther. It's called LAYR. It's the LAYR infotainment system, and it will actually show you the traffic jam up ahead. It taps into all of the traffic cameras that the states run and the highway departments run, and they make that information available to you. So if you have a traffic jam up ahead and you know it, you can actually touch an icon on your infotainment screen, and it will show you the picture, as long as there's a camera there, of the traffic jam and just how bad it is. So maybe you know whether to jump off the highway, hit the side roads, or you just hang in there because you can see that it only lasts for a couple of minutes.
I love this.
Right.
Layer, how do you get it?
Well, it's still in development. You don't get it yet, but it's going to do a lot more than just traffic, they say. And here's what it's going to do. It's going to provide you with all kinds of different information. Like, it tracks your gas tank, and when your gas tank starts running low, it picks out service stations in the area, and it shows you them on the map. It tracks all of your music, and it understands what music you like, and it connects you to your music while you're on the road, and you can set all of this up at home. And that's the big difference in this Layer program and everyone else's. It's set up on the cloud. So you can do it from home. You can program your music from home. You can make all of the different changes you want from the comfort of your easy chair and then enjoy them once you get in your car.
I love this. I've actually seen nav systems nowadays that have either yellow if traffic's getting a little thick, or red if it's at a dead standstill. But this is even deeper. It gives you more info than that.
Well, that and the actual pictures of the, I mean, you can see if the highway is closed or if it's just the right lane that's blocked off. So when this comes out, and they expect it to come out within the next year or so, this is really, really going to be revolutionary. They're going to show it this week at Ford's Connected Car, Connected Auto City competition in Los Angeles at the Los Angeles Auto Show. So it'll be really interesting to see a practical version of how it works.
Speaking of traffic, I have noticed the past couple of weekdays, traffic has been heavier, like all day long. Are people already off work for
Maybe.
The holidays?
I noticed that when it gets dark earlier, traffic starts when the sun goes down. I don't know if it's that people have a harder time driving in the dark or what, but now it starts at, 4:30-ish instead of 6 o'clock. It's weird.
And maybe it's not because you can actually see the taillights and the headlights?
I don't know.
And when it's light, you don't notice them as much?
Yeah. Maybe that is what it is.
Yeah, I don't know. That's the first thing I thought of. Huh. Who knows?
Who knows?
I don't know, but when I'm out there and I'm in the traffic jam and it's 2:30 in the afternoon, because I've taken a later lunch in order to try to avoid all the lunch rush people, I didn't.
Yeah.
I might have avoided it at the restaurant, but not on the road.
Well, I noticed that traffic starts a lot earlier these days, too. You know, if you drive in at 6:30 in the morning because you're trying to beat the rush, you still sit in it, which is crazy. I'm like, well, why are you guys all on the road? I'm trying to get out of here without you.
Maybe on the positive side, this means more people are actually working and out and about.
Maybe.
I can't believe those those inconsiderate people would be out there on your highway.
I know. That's what I'm saying. That's what drives me bananas.
Well, no, I just try to figure out what's going on, you know, why more people today than yesterday at this time. Anyway. Maybe one of these brilliant Autoflex Leasing fan texters will tell us and let us know that our texting is working.
So, speaking of texting, I do everything via text. If it's possible to communicate with a text rather than picking up the phone and calling, I do it with text.
Why is that?
Because it cuts out all the small talk. You don't have to call and go, hey, how are you? How are the kids? Are you feeling better? I know you were a little under the weather a couple weeks ago. It cuts all that out. You just get right to it. Like, hey, it's Sybil. Did you get blank? Or is it time for blank? Or where are we meeting? And that's it. You don't have to.
So you're AB, just all business.
Yeah.
On the text.
Well, a lot of other people are, too. And so now car dealers are starting to discover that maybe the best way to communicate with a lot of their clients is by text. Mm-hmm. And I thought it would be interesting if people would text in, not while you're driving, of course, if people would text in and let us know if you would prefer to be texted if you're working with a car dealer on a new car. It's something that we have been doing as a matter of just practicality for a long time at Autoflex.
And for how long? Like, how far into the process do you want to carry this text? Because as a salesperson, I have found it so much easier to have that 5-10 minute, maybe it turns into 15-20 minute conversation with someone, because you can cover so much more. I can ask all the pertinent questions. If you don't want me to build rapport with you, we can just get to the nut cutting and talk about, you know, exactly what you need about the car. We don't have to talk about your family and your, you know, how long you've been working at your job. We can just get right down to brass tacks if you're in a hurry. I'm just accustomed to doing it that way versus the texting. And I feel like I can ask different questions and explain why. Well, I'm asking that because, and this is why it matters. That's just faster to me than a text.
If you have time, I agree that does help, because there's naturally going to be follow-up questions from both sides. Mm-hmm. But the thing I don't like about sometimes with a phone call is maybe that person has time to sit on the phone and chit-chat, but I'm, you know, pulling into wherever I'm trying to get to, and now you're asking me 1,000 questions, and it's like, I don't have time. Just send me a text, and I'll write you back when I get time. And then it's also like a reminder, like, okay, here's this text I have to write back.
The other thing is that a lot of people, I think, are, they don't like dealing directly with a salesman until they sort of know them a little bit. And maybe the texting is a way. I mean, our fan texters can talk to us. I mean, that would be a good way to find out. Maybe it's a way to get started with something before you actually sit down and meet with someone or spend a lot of time on the phone with them.
Right. And the other thing is that everything's in writing. You can always refer back to it. If you think, wait, what time did he say we were meeting? You can just go scroll back and see what he said. That, I think, adds to it also.
And listen, we have some Autoflex Leasing fan texters. I am a commission sales professional, and I don't have time to talk about my vehicle from a dealership. Texting would save me loads of time.
Mm-hmm. And you can copy-paste if you have multiple people you're dealing with the same questions. And that makes it easier. You don't have to call that many people.
Another Autoflex Leasing fan text. One of our brothers in the on the business. It's, I work for Benz in Plano. Yes, texting is fine regarding car stuff and car deals.
Yeah, I'm okay with it. Would you guys be opposed to doing some kind of business over text?
No, we're doing
it. We do it.
If I mean, you contact us in our call center, if you send in an internet lead inquiry, and you provide a phone number and an email, we'll reach out both of those ways. But if we don't get a response, we'll send a text. Hey, are you still interested in this vehicle? You sent this inquiry. And many times they'll respond to that text where they don't recognize our phone number when we're calling, and maybe they check their email like me once a week or every 3 days if it's their personal email.
Right.
And I don't give out my work email for any personal business because I don't need that. I already get enough work emails, so I don't need anything else in there.
Right.
So, you know, I guess the text is, people are responding to it more.
Autoflex Leasing fan text. I love this. I hate it when I text someone and they feel the need to call me back.
Yes.
Okay, I've got customers for years and years, old customers. One of them will not do anything but text. And he is a professional and he is busy all the time. But while he's doing his job, he can text. And so if you're going to deal with him, you got to text him.
Right.
Because he won't call you. I promise you.
Yeah.
Well, during a work day for me, if you do need to communicate with me on a personal level, especially if it's my personal business, a text is best, because I'm not going to step out and take off. I have just too much to do.
Right.
To do all these phone calls, but I can quickly answer that one question.
Yes.
But I'm talking about getting it getting it all started. And I guess that just, I'm so used to how it started for me in the business, you know, at Autoflex anyway, on the phone. In the car dealerships before, it was face-to-face.
Mm-hmm.
Then when I moved to Autoflex, it became on the phone and email.
Right.
All right. And then people are now getting away from email.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if they really even check it.
Well, some people don't check it very often, evidently.
Yeah.
Not okay. My personal one, no.
Autoflex Leasing fan text. I recently bought my first house.
Congrats.
I texted 80% of the time. So
with the realtor.
Yeah, it does tend to slow things down a little bit because there's generally a lot of information that needs to be exchanged.
Mm-hmm.
But again, I think if you begin texting, at least it gives you a certain comfort level. Number one, that the person you're talking to knows how to text. And number two, their grammar is pretty well up for grabs right away.
Right.
And it gives them a way to work maybe when they couldn't work any other way. Like when they're supposed to be in a meeting.
Yes.
And they're texting away.
Or even just stuff like, say, for instance, you're standing in the lobby of your doctor's office or sitting in the lobby and you can still deal with them on that level and get some business done via text when you couldn't do it on the phone.
Exactly.
So for me, it comes in handy. Now, as consumers, I know you do it from Autoflex to your consumers, but would you like somebody to do it to you that way? Like if you were maybe buying a house or doing something, would you want to be in communication via text?
Yeah, I'm okay with it.
I'm fine with it.
Me too.
Yeah. I just wondered how the listeners would feel about it. It sounds like so far that they're okay with it.
On my end, for me, it was just a little bit more difficult to get all the information. I felt like it was a conversation was better, and I felt to my didn't. This just is my personal opinion. I felt like I was going to be able to get across who I am and how I wanted to take care of them better.
Yeah.
When I spoke to them, because I feel that more people buy from someone that they like and they trust.
Of course.
And I didn't feel like I could get that across through an email or a text because I truly care about my customers and the end result.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I want them to be happy. I'm a pleaser.
Right.
Right.
That's the other thing, too. Sometimes if with a text or an email, the context gets lost in translation and you can misread something entirely. You know, maybe they meant it as here's this direct point, but you took it as offensive. You know,
it's easy to do.
There's a lot of things that don't transfer well into print. But at the same time, sometimes if you're busy, that's the best way to get started. And then later on, you know, you can meet and you can do. We've never figured out a way to actually deliver a car to somebody without actually delivering the car to them. So at some time or another, you got to talk to them directly.
Right.
But my first lesson I learned about email and text was don't read between the lines.
Yeah.
Never read between the lines. When my sister told me that it was yelling when I typed in caps, and I said, well, I guess I was just yelling at you to invite you to dinner. Whatever. But, you know, come on.
Yeah.
Think about the context of the words and then, you know, always give them a break. But anyway, that's totally different than... So texting is the way to go.
Yes, indeed. Send us your Autoflex Leasing fan text at 43733. We'll be back with more Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by Autoflex Leasing.
Autoflex Lease, oh yeah.
We're back to the Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by Autoflex Leasing.
Welcome back. This is the Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by Autoflex Leasing with your host, David Blassingame, Tammy Pickard, Lane Lewis, and me, Sybil. Phone number to the studio, 877-881-1053, or send us an Autoflex Leasing fan text. 43733 is that number. And you can call Autoflex when you are looking for your next new vehicle or pre-owned. What are those numbers, David?
Either 817 or 972-234-1234, 888-234-1234, out of the area. As always, Autoflex.com, where you can see all of our great pre-owned cars, and you can see the Save Money Monday cars. And that sale actually begins today. It's raining. We hope someone will come out and buy a car or two from us. Those Save Money Monday cars are listed under Manager Specials on the Autoflex website, or you can go see them in person at either one of our locations in Arlington on I-20 just west of Cooper, or in Richardson just south of Beltline on Central Expressway.
Mm-hmm.
But we do have all this wonderful covered space where you can see the car, get in and out. You don't have to...
Get wet in the process.
Be a drowned rat in the process. It's very nice.
Autoflex Leasing fan text. I received a pre-approval letter from Capital One. Autoflex Leasing was the preferred dealer. How long does that process usually take to get everything taken care of and actually walk out with a car?
It's according to how long it takes them to decide on a car, because most of the process is already done.
Yay!
Right.
I
mean,
you're already approved. So we did a Capital One sale, which means that in conjunction with Capital One, we help their customers that are pre-approved. You come in, you pick out a car, You sign the paperwork and you leave.
Bada bing, bada bang.
You might spend 45 minutes. Now, and if you drive 17 different cars, which you're welcome to do, but if you drive 17 different cars, it's going to take longer.
Right.
The sooner you decide on a car, the sooner you walk out.
I think 45 minutes is really pushing it because we still have to print paperwork and so on and so forth. But yeah, the bulk of that is you deciding on a car, which is difficult. And I'm going through that process now. I've test driven a Toyota Highlander this week. I'm test driving different SUVs to prepare for my upcoming changeover. But Sybil went through this recently.
Yeah, yesterday, as a matter of fact. And the test driving took probably, I'm going to say 20, maybe 25 minutes, because I test drove two different cars.
It's really fast, too.
A Jeep and a Lexus, if you can imagine, all under one roof. And then I actually took delivery of the car yesterday. Harry Theophilides brought it out to me, and I signed all the paperwork. My first car from Autoflex, I tell the story, I signed it all in a commercial break. Yesterday, I signed it all. We were doing a video shoot for the sister station I work at, KVIL, and I did it in maybe 4 minutes. He actually brought it to me. We were out at the Gaylord Texan.
Oh, wow.
He drove my car up to me, and I signed all the paperwork. And so I had my keys. I gave them to him, and I left in a brand new car. It was awesome.
That's so do you like your new car?
Oh, my gosh, yes.
Just tell us about the car.
So it was kind of funny because basically whenever we exchanged the keys, I had parked in valet because, you know, that place is so big and I didn't want to have to go all the way out to the parking lot. So the valet guy actually got to drive my brand new car before I did. And he pulled it around and the windows had just been tinted, so it still has the little stickies that say don't roll them down for a couple days. And so he came up and he was like, is this a new car? And I go, yes, and you just drove it before I did. But I just loved getting into it because even the presets on the radio were already set for me, which is fantastic. That's such a nice touch. Like, because, of course, you get in a new car and you don't know how to work anything. And it is the same type of car as my old one. I had a 2011 Lexus IS250. I got a 2015 Lexus IS250. But it was so nice as far as getting in and having everything taken care of for me. There was a full tank of gas, which I felt bad for Harry because he got in and I go, so my gas light came on my way and I didn't have time to stop. Have fun with that.
One of the fun things I used to do
that's how it should be.
I would stop into salespeople's offices when they were delivering a car and I'd meet the customer and I'd say, now we did fill up your tank. Did you fill up the trade-in? And they, but do you, No, not really.
I told my clients, drive all the go-go juice out of your car.
Yeah.
You know, because I want you to get all your money's worth out of this deal.
There you go.
We never get a car full of gas. That just never happens. So that's okay, but all of our customers do.
Yes, yeah. Okay.
That's important.
It was a nice touch. And then I actually, because, you know, when you get the new car, it's all shiny and it's got the fresh wax job and it just looks brand new.
Right.
And then it started raining as I was driving home and I was like, no. But it's okay.
Your car is waterproof, I promise.
That's good to know. Lots of differences, though, in the 2011 model versus the 2015 model. We talked about when I test drove it how it's just tighter. And
right.
It's just it's a smooth ride because it hasn't been worn in yet. It actually, you guys are going to love this. It made me drive a little bit slower because I felt like I was just an old man rolling in a caddy down the on a Sunday stroll. Oh. Yeah, it was nice.
Oh.
I didn't speed at all on my drive-in today. I actually enjoy. I know.
That's strange.
I enjoyed the driving experience.
That's awesome.
I know. And it has a backup camera, which I've never had before.
Oh, you're going to be addicted.
I love it already.
You'll never go back.
Once you go back up, you'll never go back.
You'll back into all parking spaces from now on because you can put it right between the lines and back it perfectly straight back in and see what you're doing at the time.
Yes.
Yeah, I actually act like I'm showing off, you know? I'm like,
right.
Yep. Mm-hmm. I get out of there.
I'm just a good driver, but really you're cheating.
Yep.
It also has these things, and Tammy, you had this idea many, many years ago, but they're basically like a filler that goes between the seat and the console.
French fry catcher.
Yes, and you can't drop anything down the crack.
Is that awesome?
Yes, because in my one that I just traded in yesterday, as I was cleaning it out before I took it in, I found some old lipstick that I'd dropped down there apparently.
Apparently.
Yeah, so I love that nothing can fall through the cracks now. The other great thing, I took notes this morning on my drive-in because I knew I was going to talk about my experience. Siri actually understands me on Bluetooth. And that's
what?
A first. That is a first. She
that's
completely
amazing.
Understands me. Yes, it was great.
She finally gets you.
Mine doesn't.
You finally have your soulmate.
You need a 2015.
Mine doesn't.
Yours is an 11
no,
or a 10,
mine
I think,
doesn't do
David.
It. Now I'm mad.
You need to upgrade.
I also got HD radio, which I've never had before.
So you can actually back up the radio.
Oh, see, I didn't even know that.
Yeah, you can back it up. It's digital. Yeah, you can back it up.
Because sometimes I'll hear something. I'm like, what'd they just say? And I think about it like my television.
Yeah.
I'm like, I can't back that up. What am I thinking?
Back
just
that
like
radio
the kids
up.
Touch everything like everything's an iPad.
Mm-hmm.
Because you get used to it.
Yep.
That's what I do to my laptop.
Well, okay, so HD radio, I want to know if you can really back that up. So you'll
I'll
have
try
to
it,
me.
And
okay.
I'll let you guys know. Once I get a little bit more familiar with everything, I'm actually going to go meet with one of the guys from Park Place Lexus, which
John.
Is where it came from.
Right.
And he's going to walk me through how everything works.
Yes, you have to have a lesson.
Yes, definitely.
That's
going to
be
high tech.
John Karen, I guess?
I'm not sure.
I bet it is.
Harry gave me the card, and okay. I'll call him to schedule it. The other thing I like, and this is a change between, again, the 11 and the 15 models, it doesn't automatically lock whenever you, the doors don't lock whenever you put it into drive, which I like because it used to lock and unlock. So when you'd pull up to the gas station and put it in park, all four doors would unlock. And I'm like, no, I don't want them unlocked, you know,
right.
Just my driver door. So maybe someone else had the same feeling and told Lexus and they changed it. And I love it now.
That's a setting, I think.
Oh,
it might
I think
be
that's
a
setting. I think
car.
They can do that a number of different ways. When you go over the car, they'll tell you about that.
Okay.
Like
yeah.
if you have a family full of children, you want all your doors to unlock, right? So
yeah.
everybody can get in and out.
But right.
Or
you
maybe
being
not.
By yourself may not. Or not, yes, exactly.
But I just, you know, I love it. I can't believe I have all these new features, this new warranty, this brand new car, and I'm only paying $8 more per month than I was.
And you
that's
got
awesome.
Out about a year
that
early,
awesome.
Too.
Yeah.
And you did get out,
really.
Which is really, really nice.
Yeah.
Part of that was you selecting the right car. Now, you were looking at two cars that you couldn't go wrong with this time, too. The mm-hmm. Lexus, again, just bulletproof. Those cars are just so, you just can't go wrong.
Right.
And then the Jeep Wrangler, which Richie wanted, right?
Yeah, he did.
You can't go wrong with those either. As far as resale value.
Tremendous
and so
resale value.
Yeah.
yeah.
Yeah. I love it. And it's funny because I had parked in the garage last night, and when my hubs came home, he came in the house and he goes, it smells like new car in our garage. And then this morning he got up to watch me leave because he goes, I just want to see you drive in your new car. So he came and watched me pull out of the driveway with my new backup camera.
That's
so
cute.
It was awesome. I absolutely love it. Thank you guys so much. And thank you to Harry.
Well, thank you.
And if you
yes.
want to have the same experience, they do that for everybody. It's not just because I see them every Saturday. Call AutoFlex at either 817 or 972-234-1234 or AutoFlex.com.
Our AutoFlex leasing fan texter has texted back in the Capital One sale question. Thank you. I actually have an appointment with Regan on Wednesday. So,
excellent.
Good. That'll work out. He'll get a new car on Wednesday.
Yay!
We'll see you then.
All right. Well, we got to take a quick break, but when we return, we're going to get into more airbag talk and talk a little bit about hydrogen vehicles. So stay tuned to the Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by AutoFlex Leasing.
We're back to the Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by AutoFlex Leasing.
Welcome back to the Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by AutoFlex Leasing with your host, David Blassingame, Tammy Pickard, Lane Lewis, and me, Sybil. Our phone number, 877-881-1053 if you want to give us a shout, or shoot us an AutoFlex Leasing fan text at 43733 and call AutoFlex. Maybe you are thinking about getting yourself a new or pre-owned vehicle, but you don't want to get out in this weather. Pick up the phone and call or go to the website. What are those numbers, David?
Either 817 or 972-234-1234. 888-234-1234 out of the area. As always, AutoFlex.com on the World Wide Web. And that's where you can see our Save Money Monday cars. And let me give you a quick spread of what we've got to offer this week. A 2011 Chrysler 300, a 2013 Hyundai Sonata, a 2012 Jeep Wrangler, a 2013 Mercedes M-Class, and a Mini Countryman, 2011 vintage.
What about
pretty well everything you might want to look at will have something like that in our Save Money Monday cars.
How about a 2011 charcoal gray Lexus IS250?
It's not
with
in
gray
stock
interior.
Yet.
Oh, just kidding.
We'll
that's my old
Sybil's
car.
That is true. We will have Sybil's car for sale. It's got to go through make ready and all that stuff before it'll actually appear.
It's got. It definitely needs gas because I gave it to you guys on fumes. So sorry about all that.
while we were out on break, I heard from Josh Lewin, the former Rangers play-by-play guy, and Josh is an Autoflex customer. He needs a car for a relative in Seattle, so I'll be getting back with Josh. He's the play-by-play guy for the Mets and the Chargers.
Yeah.
And he's looking at, I think he's looking, he's California-bound, if I don't miss my bet.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
He's good people.
He really is.
So, and Tammy, you wanted to give a quick hello to somebody listening.
Well, my aunt and uncle are visiting here from Germany.
Yay!
We're going to be having Thanksgiving today. So, hello, Carl and Becky Krickle. Carl went to the Mavs game last night, so he got to see his fellow countryman Dirk Nowitzki.
That's right.
Help bring them to victory.
Yay.
Again.
Yes.
And yes. Yes, they are winning.
So, welcome. Welcome to Texas. I'm sure they've been here before, right?
Yes.
Okay. Well, welcome back.
Willkommen.
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 So let's talk a little bit about the GM ignition switches. This is an ongoing story that we've always got updates on, and now there's some news.
Well, this is sort of big news because up until now they didn't know this. The Wall Street Journal, in their investigative reporting, has discovered that the automaker placed an urgent order for 500,000 replacement switches for the ignitions of Chevrolet Cobalts and other small cars one day after a meeting of senior executives last December. Now, the rub or the problem is they didn't announce anything until February, which means that people were driving around in cars. They could have been told, hey, get all those extra keys off your key ring, and it might have prevented someone from having an ignition switch turn off, which could have resulted in a lot of problems. So far, there have been 61 claims, 30 deaths, and 31 injuries that have been deemed as viable claims against GM on this.
Now I'm thinking one of those motorcycle helmets with the little eye shield, you know.
Oh, yeah.
I'm wear that inside the car until you can. I'm really disappointed, but I'm not surprised.
Well, I mean, it's, you know, it's
not surprised at all.
If you're a big corporation and you know you've got a problem and you know it's going to take a lot of parts to fix, the first thing you would do would be get those parts ordered. The problem is that they just didn't notify anyone that they had discovered they had a problem.
They could have at least said, hey, everybody, take everything off your keychain except the key.
Yeah.
In fact, maybe you should just be using the key alone. Take the key off the keychain and have your wad of keys in your purse. My dad always said not to carry a bunch of keys around on my keychain in the first place. Now we see probably the end result there, but they could have put a notice out there, hey, we have an issue until this is fixed.
Mm-hmm.
But who knows what else? You know, there's lawyers involved.
Right.
Told them, you know, all the different things that could unfold if they even
mention
put something out there. I know.
Yeah. And so in GM's defense, they acknowledged that they had a problem. They said, you know, we had a problem with our reporting system. We've made changes. We've made reforms. We've reorganized our entire safety investigation and decision process. We have more investigators. More issues move more quickly, and more decisions are made with better data. So they've acknowledged they had a problem in that area, and they are working to fix it. But the lawyers that are suing them say that it is absolutely unbelievable that they would not mention this and bring it up because thousands of people could have been killed by cattle.
There was a movie or a book, something I read a long time ago, where they basically weighed out, you know, okay, well, the lawsuits that we could get versus what we're going to have to pay to fix all of this.
Mm-hmm.
And it was related to car recalls.
Yeah.
Way back in the 80s.
You saw Toyota with a huge recall yesterday for a possible fuel leak, of which none have been reported by consumers. But all of these manufacturers are so gun-shy now with the big Toyota recall, you know, for unintended acceleration, the GM ignition recall, the Takata airbag recall, which is still really big in the news. All of those things have got these manufacturers scared to death because they're getting huge fines.
And speaking of the Takata recall, there's a little bit more going on with that as well, right?
Well, you know, it's hard to really capture all of this. It's so multidimensional. But here's the deal: they said, "Yeah, we've got some airbags, and if they're airbag mishaps, malfunctions, and if you're in an area where it's really hot and it's really humid, it's more likely that will happen there. So we're going to recall cars in that area." Now, what we're starting to see is people that live in areas that aren't hot and aren't humid saying, well, what if my airbag explodes and I have shrapnel thrown at me? That's a real problem. So the manufacturers, like Honda has already said, if a customer wants an airbag replaced, replace it for them. We don't care where they live.
Mm-hmm.
The Senate has required that Takata recall all of their airbags. Takata's answer was, we could do that, but then we wouldn't have near enough to replace them with, nor would we have airbags to put in cars that we know are safe now. So it would run us really short on supplies if we try to replace them all. So it's interesting to see how this is playing out. It is, you know, they do, I think they do the best they can, but none of these big corporations had really good reporting systems until now. They just didn't concentrate on it enough. And so that's how things like this happen. Things, people notice things, but they don't go all the way up the food chain. They don't get reported to upper management. Upper management doesn't know they need to do something, or in some cases, maybe they did know, and they decided not to do anything, like Tammy said, because of the expense. It's all going to come out, though. I can promise you that.
I thought it was interesting that one of the Honda Civic drivers who had a Takata airbag out of New York said that it was like having a loaded shotgun pointed at him. And he ended up canceling plans with his girlfriend on Halloween because he was afraid if they were in the car together and something happened, he'd have to tell the kids.
Well, and there's another engineer that went to a dealer and said, look, I've got two airbags in the front. One's in the front of the passenger, one's in the front of the driver. How come you're only replacing one of them?
Yeah.
Is the other one going to be okay or not?
Well, I think it's where the metal pieces are is in the steering wheel.
Yeah, that
not
is.
Not in the side where the passenger sits.
People don't know all that.
Right.
They're not publicizing that. They're not talking about that. And so it gives people airbag angst, you know?
That's what it is.
Sure. Well, and the fact that they were trying to strictly replace them in the southern states first because of the moisture, and that was maybe possibly what was causing this whole failure.
Right.
But so he's up in Massachusetts or wherever, and they, we don't have any for you yet because, so now they've had to make it national. It has just been kind of a mess.
Yeah.
Anyway, I hope it all gets figured out. And you know what? If you have one of those and you are nervous, rather than have the angst, put on your motorcycle helmet and just drive to work with you.
I love that idea. If I on my way home, if I see somebody wearing a motorcycle helmet, I'm going to know that they were listening.
they'll have a Takata label on the top in the front of the helmet.
Exactly.
All right, Toyota Sienna and the Honda Odyssey did well in the new front overlap crash test for the IIHS, the Insurance Institute for Highway Safety. And this is the new test that cars were not designed to pass, because now we build cars to pass tests, which makes them safer, which is a good thing. But they were the only two that passed. The Dodge Caravan, the Chrysler Town & Country, and the Nissan Quest did very poorly in the test. Now, if you give it 1 year, they will do better because they will redo the corners of the front corners of that car, and they will reinforce them. They'll put in more crash zones, more impact areas that absorb the energy from the impact, and they will do better in the test. But these model cars have been being built since like 2011 or 2008, and they just didn't design them because this test didn't exist back then. So it's good fodder for sales if you're Toyota or Honda, and not good if you're Chrysler or Nissan. That's basically what it comes down to.
Okay. Well, we got to take a quick break, but when we return, we're going to let you know six ways the cops can tell if you're texting behind the wheel. So you don't want to miss that. Stay tuned to the Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by AutoFlex Leasing.
This is the Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by AutoFlex Leasing.
Welcome back to the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by AutoFlex Leasing, with your hosts David Blassingame, Tammy Pickard, Lane Lewis, and me, Sybil Summers. Our phone number, if you want to give us a shout, 877-881-1053, or send us an AutoFlex Leasing fan text at 43733. And as always, you can and should do what I did this week. Call AutoFlex for your next new car. What are those numbers, David?
Either 817 or 972-234-1234, 888-234-1234, out of the area.
Or we talked earlier about if you're not the kind of person like me who doesn't want to pick up the phone and call, you can also do it online at autoflex.com and handle stuff via email or via text message. And that way you don't have to have that face-to-face interaction until the very end when you're getting your new keys.
All right. AutoFlex Leasing fan text. Called you 7 weeks ago about...
Texted us
7 weeks ago about what kind of car you wanted, or what kind of car I wanted, a Ford pickup or a Tundra.
Which one we liked better, the 2014 F-250 or the 2014 Tundra?
And we liked the Tundra better, and he got one, and he loves his truck.
Yay! Congratulations.
Well, I like the Ford, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I got into my little Ford Edge after driving the Toyota Highlander. I like how comfortable that's comfort. It's what I know.
Right.
But I'm still frustrated with my infotainment. Mm-hmm. So,
Autoflex Leasing fan text. Is the 2006 Nissan Sentra on the airbag list? I went online and looked. I couldn't find it. I would call a Nissan store, and they're going to want your VIN number to be sure. Give them your VIN number, and they'll be able to tell if your vehicle is one of the affected vehicles.
That's your vehicle identification number. You could just say VIN.
Mm-hmm.
Trite talk.
All right, so this I've been excited to get into this whole show, but... Sometimes
she's jumping up and down in her chair.
Because I'm guilty of this, and we've got to list the 6 ways that cops know when you're texting.
Okay, so in 44 states, it's absolutely illegal to text while you're driving. In Texas, not so much. Now, you can't text in school zones. You can't text if you're driving a big rig.
Or Arlington.
Right. You can't text in Arlington. There's some cities
that
have outlawed it.
The whole city of Arlington is no texting.
Right.
Right. Buses, if you drive any kind of livery, you can't text while you're driving. Although I don't think limo drivers really adhere to that well. But in 44 states, you absolutely can't text while you're driving. And the fines run anywhere from $20 to like $250 to criminal fines if you're involved in an accident and it's determined that you were texting at the beginning of the accident, and especially if someone was injured. So it can be a very, very serious deal. And the police are getting more and more creative in the way that they catch texters.
And recently I learned one of the fellows that I work with, he said that his son's car... This has happened twice in a year. Somebody not paying attention has rammed this kid. This last one totaled the car.
Ooh.
Young teenage kid texting, blew right through a red light, plowed right into him.
Okay.
But he got it all on dash cam.
Good.
He has a dash cam. So when the insurance company called and said, he said, well, I don't know. You tell me. I've got it all on film. What do you mean? I have a dash cam. Caught it all.
Yep.
So... Anyway, and the other thing is, you can't tell drunk drivers anymore. I was driving down Greenville, 715, 720 last night, southbound, just south of LBJ, and a car in the left-hand lane did not make the curve and actually bumped the curb, going probably 30 miles an hour. Mm-hmm. And the first thing I thought was, that guy's drunk.
Right.
And then I pulled up beside him, and I could see the glow of the phone on his face.
Yeah.
And he was looking down.
He so still was even, looking down. He
you
hadn't
can't,
said,
oh, no, he,
no, I
he's not going to let that stop him. So anyway, the police are getting a lot more creative in the way they catch texters. The panhandler on the corner.
Is a cop?
When you stop for the red light, the panhandler on the corner. You know, the ones with the signs? Actually, in Canada... They've really carried it to a big extent. They wear hoodies or they wear baseball caps and old clothes, and they have those signs. And on one side, it's "Will work for money" or whatever it is, and on the other side, it says, "I'm a constable, and if you're reading this, you're about to get a ticket."
Oh, that's funny if it's not you.
Yeah,
I know, right?
But man, what a terrible way to get busted!
So beware of the people that have signs standing on the corners by the red light, because they can get you. The trucker in the next lane. Elevated SUVs, 18-wheelers, can all see in your car. And now police departments are getting vehicles specifically for traffic texting control. There was one city, well, in Connecticut, they're spending $2.3 million to figure out how to spot texters. Some cities have gotten fleets of SUVs so that they can write tickets specifically to texters in New York.
To sedans.
Yeah, to sedans.
To people they can see below them.
In New York, in a two-month period last year in New York, 5,553 distracted driving tickets were written, compared with 924 in the same 2 months the year before. All thank you to SUVs.
The next rich person will come up with some sort of way to cloak
where it doesn't light up or something. I have to fess up. I was looking at something on my phone. It wasn't necessarily a text, but I also do GPS and other things on my phone. Or if I'm trying to call somebody, I have to scroll through my contacts and get their number. There's other ways to be distracted with your phone besides just texting. But a big 18-wheeler pulled up next to me and blew his horn.
Right.
It like jolted me out of my zone.
He was warning you because he has been probably nearly run off the road by someone like you.
Maybe.
You know? Paying attention.
In Tennessee, the cops are riding with the truckers.
Wow.
So they can see people
follow
text.
Behind me and pull me over?
Yes.
But if if a big truck tried to pull me over, I'd be like, no, you're just going to do something.
Just
I think the guy with the smoky hat and the badge probably would be enough to get you to turn around.
Or they'll just call it in to another
and they'll pull you over.
Officer up ahead.
Now, and that's what we're going to talk about next, the spotter on the overpass. You pass under an overpass. Guess what? Whoever's looking straight down can see right in your front seat. So now the police are starting to put spotters on overpasses, and then they have partners on motorcycles or cars a mile or so up the road. And they say it's the black Cadillac with the license plates from Texas, and the guy's texting. And then they pull you over and write you a ticket.
Now, so they're beginning to really think that this is a serious problem.
Yeah,
they're proving apparently that it's causing more accidents. It's causing issues. The way I know somebody's texting is they're driving like 20 miles below
right,
everybody else and not staying in their lane. At first, I think they might be drunk or something else because of how slow they're driving. And then, nope, they're texting.
And if you talk about how serious it is, the National Highway Traffic and Safety Administration estimates that there are over 600,000 drivers using their cell phones or other electronic devices while they're driving at any given time in the daytime.
Well, their heads are down.
Right.
That's what I see all the time.
And in 2012, 421,000 drivers were injured, due to distracted driving, and 3,328 people were killed. So it's a terribly serious thing. And that's why they're starting to increase enforcement on it, because it'll save lives.
My question is, if the guy spots you on the overpass and he radios down to his partner to pull you over half a mile up, how can they prove that you were doing it? I mean, if it went to court, maybe
snatch
you put your phone by
No, because you've got a police officer that says he saw you. You're done.
Yes, yeah, so, but it's your word against his.
Guess who they listen to?
Yeah. I mean, I figured, but if you really wanted to fight it, there's not proof that you were doing it. You could be helping somebody else.
Well, there is. All they have to do is and we're going to talk about that next, your own cell records. They'll subpoena your cell records. And if your phone was active at that moment, guess what? You're cooked. There's their evidence.
Even if it was like your GPS or something?
No, they can tell the difference. Okay. And we're going to talk about that next. But if you've been involved in an accident, it is not uncommon now for the police to, first of all, ask you where your cell phone was. And if it involved an injury or serious accident, they may subpoena your cell phone records.
We have an Autoflex Leasing fan texter that says, wait, can you not text at a red light? Well, I would say yes and no. But the other morning, I missed a red light and almost a second one. I mean, the green light when it turned green. Because of a lady in front of me that was texting. Six cars were in front of us, right? She never moved. They all went, and we are like a quarter of a mile, it seemed like, from the light. And I'm just sitting there waiting like, seriously, whenever you finish.
Right, and then you miss the light.
I gave her a little toot, you know, to say, and she looks up, you know, and she, of course, we can't, neither one of us get through the light. And do you know when that light turned green again, she didn't go?
Are you kidding
me? I had to honk again.
She's busy. Don't bother
her. She was in a serious conversation, I think.
Apparently.
Okay, Autoflex Leasing fan texters, we have a far-reaching show. In Las Vegas, it's hands-free only, zero tolerance.
Vegas, baby.
Yeah, that's because there's so many pedestrians.
Yeah, right. For sure. Okay, beyond your own cell phone records, which they will subpoena, if you're driving looking at your lap, it's a pretty good indicator.
Yeah.
And at night, if you've got this strange white glow coming up from your lap, it's a really good indicator of something. So that's a couple of the ways. But now here's the killer. They have a texting detector now. It works like a radar gun. They can aim it at your car, and texts send off a very specific wavelength. And they've been doing this for years because it's what the cable people use to locate cables that are buried underground.
Oh.
Because those cables emit a certain kind of electrical
frequency
impulse
or something.
Exactly. And so now they have come up with a gun that looks like a radar gun, and it can tell if you're texting in your car.
Okay, I see your text detector gun, and I raise you a fuzzbuster for text messages. Surely somebody will invent one of those, right?
Great.
Except that those people that are busy texting aren't going to be paying attention to anything around them, so they wouldn't catch it anyway.
But maybe it would beep, you know, the way an old radar detector would.
Up there.
If they had a radar gun pointed at
I'm
your car,
you
it would warn you.
That probably wouldn't get into their brain either. Don't forget how focused a person becomes on that conversation. They're wielding a weapon, okay? How much does a car weigh? How much does your car weigh? 3,000-4,000 pounds. And you're propelling down the road, just say 40 miles an hour, because you're on a city street.
Mm-hmm.
But you're texting. it definitely gets in the way of your proper thinking because you're driving something that could kill people and you're not even watching where you're putting it.
Right.
When you take your eyes off the road for 30 seconds, really think about how far you travel in 30 seconds at 40 miles an hour and how many people you could take out. So your brain isn't working.
This might be too much of a legal question, but if a cop does pull you over who thinks you're texting, is he allowed to demand right then to see your phone and scroll back and see what time you were on it?
I think we need to ask our listeners because we know we have a number of police officers that listen. So maybe we ask them and they can tell us whether or not they can ask for your phone.
43733.
And we did. We had somebody, an Autoflex Leasing fan texter. I work for the phone company and we cannot see what someone is doing on their phone. Police cannot get that info unless they collect your actual phone and look at it on a hardware level.
So is that in person?
Okay, that doesn't answer the question, though, of whether or not they can ask you for your phone. I don't know that.
Mm-hmm. I'm telling you what it's about.
I think if you've got an accident involved and it could be contributory, I think that probably would give them a right to ask.
Mm-hmm. Here's someone who's in the same boat as me. He says, there's a lot of truckers that honk their horn at me all the time for texting.
There you go.
It's not fun.
And somebody else just thought you were cute. Honk because you were cute.
Autoflex Leasing Fan Text. I drive around Texas a lot. It's bad enough. Texas people can't drive, much less drive and text.
I'm a very good driver.
And then another Autoflex Leasing Fan Texter at 43733 says, yes, it's probable cause to search your phone.
Okay.
So that's good to know.
There's going to be a lot of different things. Like, what if other people are in the car? Another Autoflex Leasing Fan Texter texted that in. I think that the basic thing is it's just crazy. Would you let a surgeon perform brain surgery on you while he was texting?
No.
Well, then why would it be okay for someone else to drive a 2-ton missile and look at their lap to have no idea where they're going?
I had to have a surgery several years back, and I told the doctors when I went in, the anesthesiologist, everybody, I said, everybody put your cell phones in your locker. I want all 100% of your attention on me.
Yeah.
And I'm not kidding, and they just looked at me kind of funny because I happen to know about people talking on phones in operating rooms.
Yep. It does happen.
I made that a mandate.
Yes.
So let's talk a little bit. Not only is texting and driving or distracted driving bad for you, but fatigued driving is also bad for you.
Well, and distracted driving and fatigued driving sort of result in the same thing if you go to sleep if you're behind the wheel. And one of the candidates for the head of the National Highway Traffic and Safety Administration is a guy named Mark Rosekind, and he's been nominated by President Barack Obama to step in and take over the agency. The interesting thing about this guy is all he has done for his entire career is work with distracted or with tired pilots. He's worked with the astronauts at NASA. And if you think about the interior of a plane, most of it is automated. And
in the cockpit. Oh, sure.
And if you think about how cars are becoming, they're mostly becoming automated. In fact, by 2025, there'll be a lot of fully automated cars out there, they say. So Mark Rosekind is sort of a natural choice for this because that's where his expertise lies, in the distracted part and in also the tired part, the fatigued part of pilots and now maybe everyone that drives in America.
Wow. You know, did you guys see the story this week about, I think it was Indian Airlines, a pilot had taken a selfie while the plane was completely parked. I mean, they were, I don't know, loading up the gas or the food or something. And so he reached out and took a selfie and he got in trouble because he was taking a selfie from the cockpit. It wasn't even on or in motion or anything.
Well, I think that's how serious it is. I mean, would you want the guy in the 747 to be texting while the plane's landing? Probably it'd be okay because they basically land themselves, but I'd rather not.
Yeah. And their rules are possibly no phones at all. Mm-hmm. And could you imagine, what if he's supposed to be doing his checkout during that time?
Oh, okay.
You know, they do a whole checkout list.
You want to be focused.
Before they take off. Exactly.
That's true.
Autoflex Leasing Fan Text. I save lives for a living. I'm a trauma guy. State EMS Trauma Conference is meeting as we speak in Fort Worth. Thanks for talking about this. Our new campaign is Just Drive.
We will look it up.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for that info. Thanks for listening. And thanks for your work saving people's lives. Mm-hmm. We'll be back next Saturday morning at 9 a.m. In the meantime, you can call AutoFlex at 817 or 972-234-1234 or go online to autoflex.com. Thank you to Lane Lewis. For David Glassengame and Tammy Pickard, I'm Sybil Summers. This has been the Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by AutoFlex Leasing. Chair, and I'm wondering how I get down the stairs.